watching you live right here around the world. WWRB 311 channel. Glad to have you in here. Got a great one, part four. We're on the Sabbath issue tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I was telling a brother today that one of the most important aspects of my teaching is regulated to the Sabbath. If you want to really please Yahweh, keep your Sabbath and his time. That's all he wants. That's all he ever expected. But did you know that he got so angry when they failed to keep his Sabbath? He got so angry, he just sent them packing. I'll be right back. Yahweh bless you. Part four of the Sabbath Pact.
Tried many moves, tried getting loose, tried petting zoos, but I knew they wouldn't do, cause I'm a lamb, ba 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 willing, ba 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 willing. You gotta follow where he's going, gotta take him in the promised land, ba 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 willing,
ba 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 willing.
Oh yes, praise Yahweh for the lambs. You know, that's what it's all about here. You know, ladies and gentlemen, is the lambs. That's who we're concerned with. The sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Trying to teach you the way in the last days to restore the true path. The Bible said, see and ask for the old path and walk in, and you will find rest for your soul. Let's begin our quest for rest. What day do we rest on? Did you know that the eighth day, the Sabbath, is not even, you just don't ever hear nobody mention it, but Pastor Buddy, maybe Brother Arnold every once in a while. Ladies and gentlemen, the eighth day is very important. Now, we outlined and framed it for you in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 46, and verse 1 and 2. It says, with the formula for Sabbath establishing the date, the true dates now, that the gate would be open on the new moon. Now, that's day 1 of the month. Now, we're going to the month here. Now, you know very well that the order is for you to work 6 days to keep the Sabbath. Now, it's a foregone conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, if, you know, it's a matter of just going to the book and checking it out, that the new moons were approved by Yahweh in the Scriptures. You say, well, I read during in Isaiah chapter 3, or chapter 1, where he said that the new moons and the Sabbath stink in his nostrils. Well, they did. I mean, wouldn't they stink in your nostrils? If you commanded the Israelites, which was his sheep, if you commanded them to keep them on the appointed days that he appointed, rather than them changing it from his appointed days to their appointed days. You see the terminology here? He didn't say he was sick of them keeping his appointments and his appointed times. He said, I'm sick of yours. Well, I'm sick of all of this heathenistic, traditional, man-made garbage Saturday and Sunday. Now, there's nothing wrong with the day that Yahweh made that you call Saturday. There's nothing certainly wrong with the day that you call Sunday or Saturday that we recognize as the day of the week. However, it's not the proper day. We've been led out of his ways, in his days, in his times, in his seasons, And you see, that's the rub here. That's grinding at the issue and trying to cut and cover to deceive the very elect. And, you know, you were born with a Gregorian calendar hanging on the wall. You know what day you were born, according to the Gregorian calendar. You have no idea what day you were born with Yahweh's calendar, do you? Well, you say, not really. I had never thought about that. Well, won't you just go back and cross-reference a, you can make your own lunar calendar, lunar solar, to the year and the day that you were born in, cross-reference it to the Gregorian, and see what day you were born on. It might not be on Thursday or Friday or Saturday in Yahweh's calendar. It won't be. It'll be a different time and could be a different day. Just like today. Today, ladies and gentlemen, is a very important day in the month of August. You know what today is? Well, it just ended a new moon on the 11th day of August. I say, well, I never pay no attention to that foolishness. No, you don't. But Yahweh chose the foolish things. You're foolish for not going with what He chose, as opposed to going to something that Pope Gregory and his mathematicians and his astronomers and astrologers, when they hatched up out of the 23rd chapter of their own mind on how to keep a Sabbath. The only problem here, ladies and gentlemen, is we've left the diagram. You know, it's just like these complicated things that you buy, these little cheap plastic made in Taiwan or China or Bangladesh or India or somewhere, and you bring them home from Wally World and you try to put them together. And after about 3 days of trying to get it together, you break two or three parts. And then finally you read the instructions. And they're so dang confused, or confusing, that you still ain't got it right. You just wind up throwing it away and you're embarrassed to take it back. Well, my wife wouldn't be embarrassed. She'll take anything back to Wally World and demand something better. The 11th day of the month of August, last night, which was the end of the Pentecost, or the beginning of Pentecost, depending on how you want to look at it, and going through, we've been on a 3-day Sabbath, a lunar. You say, I never heard of such foolishness, tomfoolery. You know, it's just too complicated for these carnal minds. They just can't grasp it because they don't study it. They don't pray. They don't fast. They don't have a spiritual mind. They don't have a foolish mind. Because He chose the foolish things, what kind of mind would you have to get it? So I'm going to compliment all you Yahweh people that's in Yahweh's name, you foolish things. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh for being foolish enough to choose the foolish things in order to confound the wise. Now, here's a wise Saturday keeper.
I don't know what you're talking about there, boy. Man, I tell you what, that's too complicated for me. Now, what did you say? If this happens, what happens? And you tell me there's a 3-day Sabbath? Well, I never heard of such thing. Well, it just so happened that the 9th was the last quarter, which was a Sabbath. That's the 29th. On the 9th day of the month? Yep. August. You see, that's how far that the Babylonian time changers, Daniel 7:25, that's how long it took them to bring in this confusion. And once they hung it on your wall and you got accustomed to it, it's now a tradition for you to worship on the Gregorian calendar and say, well, Pastor Buddy, today's Tuesday. Oh, really? No, it's not. today is the first day of the month. Well, you say, well, my God, it's the 11th day. No. It's the first day of the month, according to the lunar calendar. Now you're going to begin your count. That starts tonight at sundown, and the 12th is your first day. Now you're going to work, let's see here, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Well, I'll be darned. That's working 6 more days to keep a Sabbath. And then, your first quarter. Here it is, the 8th day. Counting from the 11th day to the 18th day is how many days? It's 7 days of passing, but it's 8 days because it begins the Sabbath. And from 12 to 17, that's 6 working days, 12, 13, and 14, 15, 16, and 17, that's 6 working days, and that's commanded to keep. And you keep the Sabbath on the 7th day, which is actually the 8th day, if you include the first day or the new moon. Now, are you with me? Isn't that simple? It is so wonderful that you become so foolish and brave enough to not go up to the Saturday, the Sabbath people's camp as they lie to each other. You know, I promise you, Seventh-day Adventist, if you'll invite me to your church, I'll put my suit on, my Sunday go-to meeting clothes on, as we used to call it back here in Tennessee Hills. I take my brogans off, take my cowboy boots off, put on my suit and tie. I'll come over to you to your assembly. I'll bring my whiteboard. I don't use a black one. I'll bring my whiteboard over. We'll set up. We'll film it, video it, and I'll go through the teaching here on the calendar. I happen to do this one myself, along with Brother Arnold and Brother Matthew. We sort of try to coordinate our calendars, and we argue on a few points here and there in the differences, but we get her together. Brother Steve out in Kansas, he usually assists me, so we really get into, and it's a festival. All of our people at the festivals or attend our festivals, they want to know what day it is. And so they've all got a calendar designed by Yahweh in the heavens according to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 46, verse 1 and 2. On the new moon, now that's today, just ended, today was the new moon. Now, we're beginning a new day. There's a new day a-dawning. First crescent light. That's new day. After the conjunction. Quite simple, isn't it? Now, 12, 13, and 14, 15, 16, and 17 is 6 work days. And lo and behold, we have first quarter on the 18th. Then we work the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st. Oh, no, I don't work on the 21st. That's on Saturday, Pastor Boy. Why, I'd be far before I'd work on that day. Ladies and gentlemen, this Gregorian nonsense, this Babylonian confusion that you've hung on your wall has got your head in a stupid vice that some wise man, or considered himself wise. He chose the wise things to make him wise. And Yahweh said, well, you're a fool. And all of the people that use the Gregorian calendar are actually smart people. They're wise to hear them tell it. Because they got a combination factor. If this happens, this kicks in. If that happens, if this is a leap year, whatever. You see, they ignore nature. They ignore the new moon. They ignore the first day after the new moon to count for the beginning, or the first crescent, to go to work. They don't do that. And Yahweh, I mean, this is the great mathematician. I'm telling you, I would love to sit in his classes when he was down here on the planet and teaching his disciples these great manifested mysteries, which is now revealed to you and to those who will hear his word, those that will love him, those that will keep his commandments. And I done said that one of the things that really kicks Yahweh off, or one of the things of the opposite that really turns him on, is those who love him, those who are foolish, those who are chosen before the foundation of the world, those who seek and search for wherein they think they have eternal life, don't have none, and those that will keep Yahweh's laws according to the nature globe or light or beacon is a better word. I think it's actually translated from the Hebrew as a beacon. These are signposts. These are light indicators. The globe flashes. The heaven, the moon, it's a reflector. It's in the heaven, a great light. In our perspective, it's the greatest light outside the sun. There's nothing any brighter. I think Venus is one of the brighter stars or planets that's out there. It's called a star. But the moon is so darn close. It's just a mere 250,000 miles apart at an angled degree of 5 degrees to face the sun to create a dark moon. That's what you see when we have the sun and the moon in conjunction. We're now fixing to have first crescent light after the conjunction. It's marvelous. The great mathematician who hung the earth on nothing. Oh, I quake. I fear. I reverently think about him and his awesome glory. Behold him who created the heavens and the earth and the stars and called every one of them magnificent little speck of light way out there, millions of light years away. He called them all by name. Now, how'd you like to sit in a class that he could actually teach you the name of all of the stars in the heavens? Called them all by name. Now, are you getting an ideal of this awesomeness? And are you getting the simplicity of nature's calendar that is hung in the heavens by the great hand on nothing? Oh, man. Oh, nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's just like the orbits, the time functions. The ancients knew this. They could figure out the angles and the orbits and the speed. The ancients. I ain't talking about the U.S. Naval Observatory. I mean, we had people back in ancient time, even the Mayans, like I said last night, 1,000 years ago, they could put the U.S. Observatory astronomers and computer. You see, the computer's no better than the man that programs a program to run it. If he's lax or if he don't know the whole deal, then I don't care what kind of computer program he's going, it says it's programmed right, it can be full of errors. Just like I told you about the approaching time where we're going to find out that there's a planet that is cruising in the heavens that hasn't made its... We haven't discovered it yet. We're going to. It's going to be announced. And lo and behold, one of the greatest, most awesome spectacles and revelations is going to be given to the American people. We're not alone. There is a planet that we have discovered in our own solar system. That means it's going to be close to us at the time this announcement is made. And there's intelligent beings on it. Marvelous people. Great advanced science. Well, these people are going to be so bright and so cheery. They're going to come in peacefully. I mean, no war, no H-bombs or hydrogen bombs going off. He's going to come in peacefully. They're going to trade technology. We're going to start trading. The freight wagons are going to be running from planet to planet. We're going to trade in commerce. We're going to swap raw materials for things that they've got that we need. Their scientist is going to come and work in our laboratories. Uh-huh, yeah. They will actually help design the great magnificent temple. This is in honor of those holy people. And they're going to build this great magnificent temple in Jerusalem. And then at the appointed time, their leader, this great leader, is going to come out of the heavens. You say, well, buddy, no wonder you believe in the lunar calendar. No wonder you confess you're foolish. You're out of your mind. Oh, really? You mean to tell me that you don't believe that there's someone out there that is a beautiful angel? He's living, breathing, real, tangible. Not a day older than he was the day he was created. He has no... He lives outside the timeline of human flesh. He's capable of fathering children. When he visited a few thousand years ago back in the garden, he was caught committing adultery. Or at least a fornication, and all of his children became fornicators. All of his children were damned and banned, but they were smart. They were crafty. And they loved to worship too. They were worshipers. They came and worshiped Yahweh. You know why? Because they loved to worship. Yeah, they're worshipers. Yeah, they're worshipers, and they themselves are today sitting in the seat of Moses. They're the scribes. They're the Pharisees, and Christ said, beware of them. And yet, instead of being aware of them, I mean, that's all we want to do. We want to touch their clothing. We want to go and look at God's chosen people. We want to go over there and help them build a temple. We want to send them money. As a people and a nation here in America, we have supported these people that call themselves Jews, and they are not. They're liars. They're magnifiers of a lie and turned it into the truth, and the people would rather have a lie taught to them out of the slick willies, these evangelists. Man, I can just, you know, would you like to go to San Antonio to the big church out there? I'd say, now, what's that guy's name that runs that thing? Well, that guy just came back. Oh, he's written two or three books. Have you ever read them, Pastor Brad? No. I don't read trash. Nothing to it. He's preaching a lie, teaching a lie. He's now, the mantle has fell off on him as the principal evangelist and world organizer to continue the support for Israel. Now, wait a minute here. Why do we say it's Israel and we call them Jews? Is all Jews Israel? I don't think so. You see, there's as much deception on the issue of this topic as there is, as opposed to what I'm teaching on, is the revelation of the Sabbath, when it's to be kept, who was in charge of changing it, who adopted the changes that were necessary to pull people, I'm talking about the true Hebrews, not the Jews. The Jews are those who say they are Jews. Now there's a good people out of the house of Judah. But they're not known as Jews. They're known as the house of Yahutah, praisers of Yah. I know a lot of them. Boy, they're powerful. Well, you meet one of those praisers of Yah from the house of Yahutah. Boy, you've met a man or a woman. These are awesome men of the faith. But they're not Jews. Jew is it's like a slang word. It's a bastardized word, if you'll pardon the expression. It's something that man has thought up. Jews. In the original King James Bible, the first print Bible, it didn't even start with a J. There wasn't a J in the Bible. So it can't be Jews. Are you with me tonight? It was the praisers of Yah. The I was a substitute for the I. Was a substitute for the Y. And now the J replaced the I. And in the original King James, it was I-E-U-A-H. Yahuda. Not J-E-W. J-E-W didn't come on the scene until years later. Just a few hundred years back, they started using Jew as a shortened form of the house of Yahuda. Now, I've been through how the great mystery of how that the seed of Cain, I hate to get on this because, man, I ruffle feathers and make people mad because it's the truth and nobody ever tells it. I'm the only one I know. Brother Arnold won't even get into this issue. And me and him's had some backdoor chats. He disagrees with me on something and agrees with me in principle and most, and I like him, but we differ on this. Did you know that the Cain seed punctured the blood of Jacob's children and infused it with snake blood? That's why Christ said, your father is the devil. When the Jews said, our father is Abraham. Now notice, Yahweh didn't take issue with that. He said, I know you're Abraham's children. Now here's the catch. Just like the time change of the Sabbath. They're so masterminded and so far out ahead of people, I believe they were born to deceive people. I know they were born to lie because they are nothing but liars. I know they were born to kill because they're nothing but killers. I'm talking about genetics. They're working overtime right now to kill a particular genetic bloodline in the earth. And man, they're doing a job. If you really want to have the four major races, there were four rivers that came out of the Garden of Eden. This was genetic. Water represents rivers, represent people. And so when you bump this up in Genesis, you'll find that there were four major genetic types of people on the planet. And there's one out of those four right now that is suffering to the point of extinction. This is how successful the war against Yahweh's people has been, that there's only a few left, as it was in the days of Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their three wives, which made a total of eight souls genetically pure left in the days of Noah. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's all it's going to be. In the end time, this time, and maybe a few more than eight, maybe a few less, I don't know. Because he asked a question, he said, will I find faith on earth when I return? And the question is obviously yes. But he didn't say he would, but he said, will I? So he left it up as a question. I do believe that there'll be a few here that are pure in genetics and keeping the true Sabbath to please our Father. In the last days, much knowledge will be increased, not only bad, but good. But the good and bad will clash on a major scale in the last days, and it will be called Jacob's trouble. He will be imprisoned for keeping the correct Sabbath. Now, have you ever thought about that you may possibly one of these days go to jail because you refuse to bow to keep what is boiling down to be a universal church? You got to belong to it to have a card or something to like a mark, a number. And if you're outside that, you're going to be imprisoned. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be put where you're, like a doctor told me, he said, man, if you don't get operated on, he said, you're going to be pushing up daisies. I said, how long have I got? Well, he said, this is a fast-moving kind. You've got 6 months. Man, I mean, you could have knocked me down with a feather. Man, when you get a death sentence, and that's what's coming, not only to Pastor Buddy, but to the rest of the world, or the sons of light in the world, you're going to get one of those immediate death sentences. If you don't bow and worship me and keep my Sabbaths or keep my days, and Satan is a master craftsman of deceit, kill, steal, and destroy. That's his mission. And he's working overtime to destroy the genetic breed of genetics that came out of the loins of Jacob, who was a blushing Israelite. Judah was a blushing Israelite, but here's the problem. In Genesis 38, he left his brethren and journeyed down, and there he met a beautiful Canaanite woman. Abraham didn't approve of Canaanite women. Sarah didn't approve of it. Isaac didn't approve of Canaanite women or men. And neither did Rebekah. And neither did Jacob and Rachel and Leah. But somehow the infused blood of the snake come craftily crawling into the family unit of Israel. That's hard to get rid of polluted bloodlines. Christ talked about it in Matthew 13. The book of Moses, the five books of Moses, talked about it repeatedly and warned us that if we broke his laws and his Sabbaths, that he would bring in all these strangers. And they'd be like grasshoppers to cover the land. They would take our women, as they were doing in Numbers chapter 25. Read it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all for breaking the Sabbath. I mean, that's how important this is. Blessed are those who will hear His word and keep His commandments. Yea, I say unto you, yea, keep the commandments. Well, the rich young ruler said, well, I've done that from my youth up. He said, you lack one thing yet. Really get your heart into it. Sell what you've got. Give to the poor. And take up your cross and follow me, or your torture stick. And boy, that's a hard saying. He didn't say he did it. He said he went away very sorrowful. See, when you draw the line in the sand, those who keep Saturday can't worship with Pastor Buddy. Now, two can't walk together unless they be agreed. Well, I can't certainly worship with the Catholic Church because they're Sunday keepers. I can't worship with the Baptists. That's the one I came out of. That's how they indoctrinated me. As a child, they tell you that there's three gods in the heavens. Man, I got a message real quick. By the time I was 21, I knew better. And I confronted my pastor, and they, for my effort, they throwed me out. When I said there's only one God, well, even the devil believes there's one God. And he trembles. And yet they don't. They believe there's three of them. They believe there's a Father that sent the Son down here, glory to God. You see, they got this image of a creature. God looks like a long-bearded old gentleman. He's got a crown on his head, and he's got a big old stick in his hand, and when he pokes that stick down on the ground, the whole earth shakes and trembles. And he sent his son down there, and I don't know how he got his son up there without a wife. Oh, well, let's see, that's too complicated. Don't get into that, okay. Well, we'll just keep it as simple as we can for the simple-minded plan that Yahweh gives, that if you believe in one God, Yahweh, you believe well because the devil believes and trembles. And that's what I believed. I started, and that got me in trouble with the Baptist Church. Got me thrown out because I was oneness. I believed that the manifestation of that child that was born from a little virgin, well, the Bible don't say virgin, but it says a young girl. And we take it that she'd never known a man, so I guess she was a virgin. But we have to take that on a faith because it don't say that she was a virgin. But she had never known Joseph, who she was espoused to. But she got pregnant during the time she was espoused to him. And he, not minding to being tricked on, was fixing to put her away. Then here come the message from Gabriel, the messenger angel, and said, you know, don't be afraid here, Joseph. Joseph, not Judah, Joseph. The character's name was Joseph. He was the son of David. David was the son of Jesse. Jesse was an Ephraimite. And so was Joseph, the supposedly father. But you see, the bloodline that actually produced Christ was not a man. Now, I'm going to repeat this. The Father was not a person. So there's not three persons in the Godhead. The Father was a spirit. And there was no Son. It was in the sperm, the seed that he planted in Miriam. And that transformation that God, when he overshadowed her, he began to grow God. God with us. Matthew 1:21. Isaiah 7:14. God with us. And you know what he done? According to Luke 4:16. As his custom was, he kept the Sabbath. Now, let's go to the 6th chapter of the book of Luke. And verse 1, and read something very strange here. We're talking about the new moon, which is ironically today. And it says, the disciples went through the cornfields and plucked corn 2 continuous Sabbaths. Well, a Sabbath of a new moon. The end of the Sabbath of the month and then the new moon would be 2 days. And so his disciples, for nothing better to do, just wandering around, been somewhere up in a mountain to a teaching. And, oh, how would you like to sit in on some of that stuff, good stuff that the Messiah taught them? He took them aside. He didn't teach to the world. He refused to say anything as far as revelation except to his disciples. He took them aside. He told them personally what day to keep on the Sabbath. They watched his manners and his customs. They knew what day the Sabbath come because they were still keeping the lunar Sabbath in the time of Christ 2,000 years ago. Oh, shit. No, 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 no. They were keeping. Now, he was crucified on a Friday. And lo and behold, he got up on the Sabbath. Well, that's 2 days in the grave. Or actually, it's one night and part of one day. It's less than 2 days. But, you see, the Catholic, they take Sunday, so they stretched it out from Friday to Sunday. Left you 7 day wonders. They're wondering how you could get it correct, because you'd have to go against the Catholic Church teaching that Saturday is on the seventh day and Sunday is on the first day of the week. See? So they, whether the Seventh-day Adventists will admit it or not, they are uniquely, through traditions and through falsehood, tied together with the mother whore. Now then, we've got a dilemma here, because Friday night till Sunday morning is not 3 days and three nights. It's a problem here, ladies and gentlemen, with the doctrine of the Gregorian Church, with a Gregorian calendar and a Gregorian timepiece, and they expect you to be wise enough not to count. Well, here I am, stupid enough to count, and I don't count 3 days there. So we got some things that, you know, when you go in and debate with these people, you obviously want to bring those things up, right? What about a good poker player? You know, he always keeps a couple aces in the hole, if he's got them. And if he ain't got them, you better not play poker, because sooner or later, somebody's going to call you, and you're going to have to show your hand. Well, now, the Bible said this wasn't done in the corner, and to declare the whole counsel and the gospel would stop every mouth. If you got the cards, you can run the table. If you're a good pool player, you can run the table. If you're a good mathematician, you can add the numbers. So don't let the intimidation of a large group of people. How would you like to go in before 35 or 40,000 screaming, fanatical Jesus believers with the name of Yahweh and a different Sabbath day, and you've got 1 hour to change that big crowd? First of all, they're not going to keep quiet enough for you to change, because when you get up, you're going to make a devil mad right to start with. They won't hold their peace. I've done this. I've debated some of the Greek scholars at the University of Tennessee. I was called down there, or invited. And they said, well, we'll take this old country bumpkin. I had a sister come up here, and I baptized her. She went back to her church and resigned, and they wanted to know what's going on here. Well, I met Pastor Buddy, and he convinced me, and I got rebaptized, and I'm fixing to resign from the church. And, oh, wait a minute here. We got to defend you. He's deceived you. So she calls me up and tells me that they refuse to turn her out without me coming down there and presenting the facts to them. Well, bless God, I went, and I presented the facts, and they had two or three Greek scholars. And before I got through, I was there a couple hours, and the pastor and their board, whatever, the deacon board, they stood up and said, well, we can't find nothing to refute this man, what he's taught. It indeed seems to be biblical, and we can't say nothing further against him. And I like to fell over. Most of the time, they just get me by the seat of the pants and throw me out the door. And I was treated somewhat rather nicely, but here's how it goes down. They still won't receive what you say, whether they're good to you when you throw you out or they throw you out on your head. Doesn't matter. They ain't going to receive it. The Bible said they get in the door, they stand in the door, they won't go in themselves, talking about the church leaders, and hinder them it would. And that was the thing. Of course, she came out, and still, though she's dead now, she died. She was an elderly woman. She was 78 years old when I converted her. You never get too old to learn. Praise Yahweh. And the truth. If they would leave me alone and give me an audience on television like some of these other false prophets have got that are dishing out Saturday or Sunday, or the Jews are God's chosen people, or they're going to build a temple. You know, if they let me up and let me diagram the truth of the Scriptures and prove it line upon line and precept upon precept, and I promise you I never even opened the Bible. What I'm putting on the board would be biblical if you want to turn over and look at it. Not to say that I know all the Bible, I don't. I only know what Yahweh gives me. But I do know when I get anointed with the Holy Ghost, this foolishness turns in to revelation. And that's the type of people that Christ chose when He Himself chose Peter, James, and John. Now, who were they? Ignorant, foolish, and unlearned. Boy, I qualify. I'm a partner to Peter and to James and John. Got no education. What I got was on my knees, laying in these hills up here in East Tennessee, following the broomtails. Had my Bible laying out at the end of the row. Pick it up and read a verse and plow it all the way back, thinking about it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, knowledge comes with desire. And when you desire it, and I didn't get it to argue. I wasn't looking for it to argue with people. And I don't have it now to argue with people. But when you don't do your homework, when you don't dedicate your life to the Sabbath, then you're going to be deceived by the slick willies that come out of the woodwork as wise PhDs. I mean, some of these people, they talk, you know, they can say big old long three hinges on the letter, you know, and they warp it around about three syllables or whatever it takes, and it you know, they, and I don't even know what the word means, let alone what they're talking about. And I have to say, well, sir, what does that word mean? I don't know. And you know, they say these to. After they find out you know some Bible and they can't get you there, then they'll start putting you down because you don't know proper English or you don't know the dictionary and the meaning of words and stuff like that. The Bible says it identifies these type of people. They think they will be heard for their much speaking. And they are. The world has beat a path to the door simply because they seem like or seem right, but there is a way that seems right, and the end thereof is death. Now, I've preached myself out of time and haven't even got to my message tonight, which was going to be on the Star of Bethlehem and the conjunctions and the things that how they determined that the star, the wise man. Now, remember, nobody in Israel knew, not even Herod. Not even the wise men, not even the scribes. They didn't have nothing. They were all asleep in their traditions. When these three, if we believe that they were three, don't say they were, but when they came, these wise magi came from the east, parked their camels, got off and inquired, where is the King of the universe? This mighty God that is coming to earth to rule. And Herod said, oh my God, is he here? Where is he? When did he come? I didn't read it in the local paper. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, he slipped in here as a king. But he was just a little child. That was God laying there, being attended to by his mother. And he grew in grace and knowledge, and he rose up and he began to become the most awesome teacher. If you only knew one fraction of what he taught the apostles, that's why they did greater miracles than he did. He wasn't trying to make a noted preacher or an evangelist or trying to win the world. He was trying to hide his gospel and reveal it in a secret setting. If you want more of it, you need to come to the festivals. You could hear a few things that Yahweh's hid from the wise and prudent and revealed it to his babes and sucklings. Tonight, I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary. That's 1-877-289-7439. Brother Paul at 1-800-253-2748. We need your help. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about our pursuit of trying to find a theosite. We are strapped for finances. We're asking, we're making a plea for somebody. Somebody can afford to help us to get a theosite, a place where we can gather and I can live on the place and I can teach these messages. We can update our video processing. We got a few old crude videos that I send out every once in a while. We got many. Brother Bob has seen to it that we've got many hours of messages posted on our website, which is oneyahweh.com. Matter of fact, we're transmitting tonight live through oneyahweh.com. You can listen to the message right there. You don't have to go to the internet. You can also listen to it on WRB 3.185. Many of you people are downloading the message live right now off of WWRB. Many of you are listening somewhere on shortwave, and I need your help. Please write me and encourage me in this. I need your help. I need you to hold me up before Yahweh and help me. Some have offered to help, but it's a little. We need many that would contribute where we could have a fellowship place with the things that we require, and you could help us. I mean, you know, things are tough right now, but if you would see fit to help us, I believe Yahweh would bless you. I really do. I think He would maybe add years to your life. Oh, man, wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, you never know what days mean when they give you a death sentence and tell you you're going to die real quick, and every day you get up and you're living, you can honestly look up and thank Yahweh for it. I'm telling you, Yahweh is so good and so kind. You can write me tonight here on live radio, WWRB. I'm not recorded. I'm live on a Wednesday night here. You can write me at Post Office Box 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's my pastor buddy. Post Office Box 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's it. 3784. Send me a letter. If you could just pray. Has everybody read with you in prayer? We don't have the money. Just send me a little encouragement. If you can send us a few coins, gold coins, silver coins, whatever, and some I've already done. I have a sister in Missouri. Mail me a little bag of silver coins and a few gold coins. Now, that's love. Great job. I appreciate that, sis. And all of those that have had some man from Spain send me some gold coins. That I appreciate that. It's wonderful. But I don't have enough of them. I wipe a whole lot just to be honest. But if somebody that loves some coins, maybe you're a collector, maybe you could spare some. But a whole lot of you just for sparing the rock, we could get this place, and you would always be welcome at the house of God if you qualify. Now, you can call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. I'll see you.
Friday night around the world on WWRB 3.185. The blessings of the King. Blessed be His name. I love you.
Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Yahweh, He liveth, and blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Yahweh, He liveth, and blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Yahweh, He liveth, and blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.